Happy Friday. Welcome to Happy and Whole in Him, where we're continuing to sample the Psalms. Psalm 5 is another Psalm of David. Listen to how it begins as David calls out to God as he faces enemies. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. So what goes through your mind when you hear the word routine? Many of us hate routines, schedules, everything having to be orderly. I'm not a fan myself, but I have found that certain routines are good and necessary. I must prioritize certain things to care for myself, both body and soul. And that's what we're finding here in the early Psalms. Psalm 5 tells us in the morning, David lays out his requests before God. There's a routine, a pattern here. We saw in Psalm 3, it was also a morning prayer, followed by Psalm 4, which was an evening prayer. Here again is a morning prayer, and guess what Psalm 6 is? An evening prayer, you guessed it. These Psalms show us a routine of prayer every morning and every evening. And in this morning prayer, we read David lays out his requests before God, and the language here tells us his prayer is very orderly, focused, direct. We are to talk to God regularly and intentionally, laying out specific needs, both for others who are in need and for ourselves, admitting we don't have the resources to do life. And you may be thinking, Joel, I don't have the resources to do regular prayer. Words can be hard. Sometimes I don't know what to ask for or how to ask for it. My friend, tell God that. And if all you can do is groan to God, groan. The word for lament in verse 1 is translated groans in many versions. God hears you when you cry out to Him. And I cannot encourage you enough to cry out regularly to God because you are living in a war zone. Psalm 1 talked about the righteous person who God watches over. Psalm 2 told us about the nations which rage against the rule of God and His anointed one. These two psalms set the stage for the experience of the righteous in a rebellious world. Enter Psalm 3 with David, God's righteous servant, pursued and surrounded by wicked enemies. Enemies are lurking, and a war zone is the setting of Psalms 4, 5, and 6 too. Here in Psalm 5, verses 8 and 9, David says, "Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice." Friends, this side of heaven is a war zone filled with evil cosmic forces where mankind itself is the battlefield, whether you recognize it or not. Now, some of you hear this, and it doesn't touch your felt needs, simply doesn't interest you. You're indifferent, so this isn't going to compel you to pray. May I press on you a bit? That is a very Western notion and a very dangerous one. What you are saying is, if you don't feel it's a problem, then its existence doesn't matter. But it does matter, and the consequences are eternal. So we need to be regular in prayer. So how is prayer useful in a war zone? Well, John Piper well calls it a wartime walkie-talkie. He says, "We cannot know what prayer is for until we know that life is war. Life is war. That's not all it is, but it is certainly that. Our weakness in prayer is owing largely to the neglect of this truth. Prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. It is not surprising that prayer malfunctions when we try to make it a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. God has given us prayer as a wartime walkie-talkie so that we can call headquarters for everything we need as the kingdom of Christ advances in the world. Piper is right that we need to be in constant communication with God, calling in for air support. In fact, You should ask yourself what part of your life you do not pray to God about, because that is the very place where the enemy is preparing to mount an attack. That is why you go to the God who David describes as a God who wraps us up in protection in verses 11 and 12. He says, "Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." Here is good news for us to close on this week. The enemy is close, all around us, but our God is closer, and he'll surround us with favor that we may rejoice in him. Let us pray. My God, we rejoice in you, for you're a shield for us, the glory and the lifter of our heads. Forgive us for our negligence in prayer, and help us to learn how to pour out our hearts to you. And grant that we'll recognize that we're not fighting for the victory, but from the victory Jesus has already won at the cross and the tomb. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.